we're going to head up the road.
So take me through to outside of the swift parrot. What other animals have you got here?
Devils, eastern quolls, bandicoots, eastern bay bandicoots, brown bandicoots.
Up a long dirt driveway in southern Tasmania, a transformation is taking place. Land, which could once only sustain 40 head of cattle, is now the home of countless native animals, some rarer than others.
And we suspect there's one just in the gully.
So all this on what used to be marginal farming land?
Yes. Yeah, and now it's got just about the whole gamut of the smaller fauna.
Okay, I'll grab that one.
Yep.
My name's Simon Roberts and I'm a landholder in Pelvorada in Tasmania.
So can you talk to me about the history of the block? So this used to be farming land. It was farming land when you bought it.
Yeah, so we came across this land which was essentially half pasture and half bush.
So it was farming land. They had grazing on it. It could have been farming land if you wanted it to be. What made you decide that this wasn't the right place?
Looking at the farm at the time, it was being grazed with cattle, and we could see that there was quite a lot of damage happening due to the cattle grazing, particularly during the winters. We also looked at the topography, and it's very inaccessible in many places. It's got cliff edges, etc. We looked at the potential of using it for adjustment, but based on the amount of money we would have had to spend in order to do that, we decided, no, it would be better for us to regenerate this block.
Now, some of your land has just become a conservation covenant. What does that mean for you as the landholder? Why did you decide to do it?
Being ex-farm land, we have spent a lot of time still managing the land, even though we weren't deriving an income from it. We spent quite significant amounts of time dealing with historic weed problems. We spent some time doing some regeneration in many of the areas that were particularly prone to erosion, including some of the creek lines. And we were thinking, well, when we sell this, even though it's marginal in terms of its agricultural potential, there was the possibility someone could come here and try to reconvert it back to grazing land. So for us, a covenant was essentially a secure way of making sure that the effort that we've spent in the last 20 years or so is retained into the future.
It's a way of protecting an area of land on private property. It's on title, so the covenants are set up on the property title in perpetuity, and they protect that area of land.
Morty Brown is a senior project officer for the government-funded Natural Resource Management Organisation.
So tell me about the swift parrot.
Swift parrot is a Tasmanian endemic breeder, so they only breed in Tasmania. They come to Tasmania each summer to breed. They winter on the mainland, but they return every summer. They have two specific requirements to breed. They need a hollow that's suitable for nesting in, and they have really specific requirements for that. And they need a food resource, and their primary food resource is the nectar of the flowers of the Tasmanian blue gum, Eucalyptus globulus, or as a backup when globulus aren't flowering well, they also feed on black gum, Eucalyptus ovata, otherwise known as swamp gum. They don't nest in the same place every year, so they're quite difficult to implement conservation actions for. We never know where they're going to nest.
So you're chasing them from year to year to try and help conserve them?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of effort goes into that.
Mrs. Brown says looking after land through conservation covenants benefits not just native plants and animals, but farmers too.
Remnant areas of native vegetation on production-focused properties provide all sorts of benefits to the production on those properties. So they help clean air and water. They support insect and bird pollinators, which are obviously critical to cropping. They stabilise soil and prevent erosion. They help prevent dryland salinity. The vegetation stabilises riverbanks and floodplains. Native animal activity supports soil health, and they can also provide shade and wind breaks for stock and crops.
James Hattam is the CEO of the Tasmanian Land Conservancy, a not-for-profit that both buys and manages private properties in Tasmania. He believes marginal farming land and private land in general holds the key to species survival.
Oh, it's so critical. Like, it's one of the most critical elements to achieving, you know, biodiversity conservation, not just in Tasmania, but across Australia and actually across the world. Private land actually plays a critical role in protecting so many species. In Australia, two-thirds of land is owned or managed by private landholders. And amazingly, much of the land that TLC has purchased has come from farmers, has come from people that were running these properties as farms. You know, when we're thinking about protecting threatened species, these areas are really critical, and they often adjoin national parks and state reserves as well. So it's part of that broader landscape conservation effort that's really needed.
Can you take me through the type of work that you are doing with farmers and landholders? What's the nitty-gritty? What does it look like on the ground?
So we offer a whole range of different programs. Most of the work the TLC does, people think about our reserves. So we have 23 reserves around the state, and that adds up to about 15,000 hectares of land. But we also work with landholders to establish conservation covenants when there's a range of programs operating through the state government and the federal government, which protects critical habitat for particular types of threatened species. So around Tasmania, there's about 900 conservation covenants or private reserves, and that totals about 110,000 hectares of land across Tasmania that's managed for conservation. We also work with farmers in the Tasmanian Midlands through a partnership with Bush Heritage Australia called the Midlands Conservation Fund. And that's a bit of an innovative model of conservation whereby we're trying to put conservation on the balance sheet. So we're actually funding landholders for conservation outcomes. So these parts of their properties are part of commercial areas. They graze them as part of sheep grazing enterprises and the like. And our ecologists work hand in hand with the farmer to find the right balance to ensure that the natural values are protected, but also the farmer is getting a commercial return as well. So in areas, especially like the Midlands, where there's critically endangered grasslands and a whole range of species that rely on those places, they're sort of the last bits left. So we need to think of different ways. It's not just one tool in the toolbox, but we try to offer farmers and landholders a whole range of opportunities to achieve conservation themselves.
Where do you see this going in the future?
I see it as becoming more and more important. I think if you look at it nationally, you know, COVID really reminded people, 2020 really reminded people of the values that we have all around us. We're recognising the importance of the species in the places that we live and that we value and that we recreate in, but we also rely on from an agricultural perspective. So I see it becoming more and more important, and hopefully governments also continue to support that, but also the whole community supports landholders, especially private landholders that are doing the right thing.
Well, I guess in a nutshell then, why do you do it?
Oh, you do it because you feel good, basically. You do it because it's a... You feel you're contributing. You feel you're giving. You're looking after the land in an appropriate way. And not all land is appropriate for this sort of shift between a farmland and going to a more natural state. But we made that call. And I think just about everybody who's seen the property, particularly now that it's starting to really show the values that it has, have said that it probably was the best call.